God is good, amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord some praise, church.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Everybody turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's get ready to worship Most High God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for strengthening my voice. Thank you, Lord. God has been so good to me. I've been dealing with a lot, been going through a lot, but God has been so faithful. So, so faithful. Like the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm weak, he is strong. You know, God steps in, you know. So I want to encourage you guys today, whatever you might be going through. You know, we're in a season of spiritual warfare. I think every family in this church is being attacked in one way or another. You know, Satan's throwing everything he can at us because time is short. And he wants to get us distracted from the mission, you know. He doesn't want us to be that faithful, productive servant. So he wants to sideline us. He wants to blindside us, you know. So it's not lost to me that so many people are going through some pretty hardcore, serious issues. And I'm right there with you guys. But I just want to tell you, man, we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, a God of restoration, a God of healing. A God that brings dead, dry bones back to life. Amen. You know, so I just want to encourage everybody, just reach out to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and your healing power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers. And he's talking to them, chapter 4, starting at verse 7. He begins to talk to them about some of the suffering, some of the trials that he and his other minister buddies have been going through for serving the Lord. He's saying this Christian walk ain't the easy walk. And since God has called the Apostle Paul to such a powerful, important ministry, just like the Apostle Paul has called each and every one of us to a powerful, important ministry. Well, I'm no Apostle Paul. I'm not saying you're an Apostle Paul, but I'm saying God entrusted the Apostle Paul with the message of the gospel. And God has also entrusted Caleb Toomey with the message of the gospel and Don Knuckles with the message of the gospel. The Lord said, I need you guys to go out and make disciples of all men. That's not just for that original core group of followers, but that's for us today. So we have this amazing challenge that God has given us to show people the love of Jesus, to tell people that they can be forgiven of their sins, that they can be set free. Thank you, sweetheart. And what an awesome obligation we have. Can I get a witness? Amen. But God doesn't ask us to do something, which he doesn't ask us, he tells us to do it. But God is not going to tell us to do something and not equip us for that job or that journey. So the Apostle Paul's talking to the Corinthian believers and saying, this ain't the easy road. This is a hard road. And I've been through many trials and tribulations and pain and torment and heartache. I've been shipwrecked. I've been snake bitten. I've been left for dead. I've been thrown in prison. Every town I go into, people are trying to kill me and beat me up. But it's worth it. Church people, it's worth it. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, 8, and 9 is our main text. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God. And not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Father God, thank you for your will being done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, that this message goes out. You anoint this message, Lord, and we receive it and we walk in it. Thank you for healing people today in our deep, 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 the most deepest part of us. Thank you for healing us, Lord. Thank you for healing our hurts, our rejections, our traumas. Thank you, Father God. You said that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you that we are set free.
Hallelujah.
That we are delivered.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that you have a plan and a purpose for this church, for this body, for this day and this hour, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, for equipping the saints to be bold in their witness. Thank you, Father God, that if there be any, Father God, thank you for unity. Unity in this house. Thank you, Father God, for that forgiveness, Lord, that you have freely given us, but it wasn't free for you, Lord. It cost everything.
Yes.
And we freely received that forgiveness, Lord. Let us give that forgiveness to those that have hurt us, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, we know that a church in unity can do so much for the kingdom.
That's right.
Thank you, Father God, that we are on the same page. That we love one another, that we forgive one another.
Yes.
And Father God, we pray for one another.
Yes.
Father God, thank you for your anointing and your will being done in the mighty, precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Everybody, the church built said,
Amen.
Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's jump over to slide 2. So, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So, let me get my lesson here. So, what we got going on here, I lost my pen and that really bugs me. I gotta have my, oh yeah, thank you, sweetheart. And I will give it back to you. I don't know what I did with my pen. I bet you Sister Claudia borrowed it to write a check. Thank you. I got to have my pointer, but let's get back up. Thank you. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. What are these jars of clay that the Apostle Paul's talking about? He's talking about me. He's talking about you.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul is comparing himself and his ministering counterparts and fellow believers, fellow Christians. He's comparing us to common, frail, fragile vessels that God uses. He's talking about our human frame and the weakness of this body. He's saying, we're just normal folks. The Apostle Paul says, I'm just a normal guy. Without what Jesus Christ puts inside me, there's nothing special about me at all. I'm just a common, everyday guy. I'm a jar of clay. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the other apostles. He's talking about the ministers of the gospel. And by extension, he's talking about me and you.
Yeah.
We are these jars of clay. Okay, now, check this out. But we have these treasures in jars of clay. So, we're this common, unfinished vessel that is so fragile that chips and cracks, but God has placed the most valuable treasure in existence into these jars of clay, into Sister Dan, into Sister Dina, into Sister Robin, and all of us that have accepted Jesus Christ. He's given us that mission, that special treasure that is all, it's all of our duty, all of our duty. And that treasure is the good news of Jesus Christ. That precious, precious treasure. That life-changing message that there is salvation, that there is forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ and in no other name.
Yes.
There is that precious, precious treasure.
Yes.
that God has placed in us, these fragile jars of clay. The Apostle Paul's making a point. It's not much value on the outside to the average ordinary guy. Oh, but I'm a precious snowflake. I'm just so unique in all my way. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. But man, look at us, man. We all kind of blend in. We all kind of look the same. We're all just kind of just us. Amen?
Yeah.
But God grabs us. People that the world and its institutions would overlook. God scoops us up and says, I want to use you for the most important job that there ever could be. I want to use you to spread my gospel. I want to use you to build the kingdom of God.
Yes.
He says this right here. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. God uses ordinary people like me and you with this amazing responsibility to spread the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, look, it ain't me. I'm just that vessel. I'm just that jar that he pours out. I'm just that willing servant. Hello, willing servants. That's what we are. Thank you, Jesus. He says, I'm just the vessel. But I have been charged to give this message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that man can be forgiven, that we can be set free, that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says, that's my job, to proclaim that message. But he says, make no mistake about it. My job is to give the message. Sister Claudia's job and Nate's job is to give the message. And we use our gifts and our talents and our abilities to proclaim that message. But it is God that brings in the increase.
Yes.
It is God, it is the power of God that pierces the heart of sinful man. It ain't you. My job is to give the message. Paul said it's my job to give the message. But then the Holy Spirit pierces the heart of sinful man and says, you don't have to live like this. It's the Holy Spirit that grabs a hold of that person and says, I can restore everything that Satan has destroyed. Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Amen.
Paul's saying God uses ordinary folks like me and you. But when we give that message, the Holy Spirit takes that message.
Yeah.
And he plants it in the heart of people.
Yeah.
And he waters it in the hearts of people. And he uses us to do those things. But it's the power of God that brings the growth. Amen?
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. He is worthy. I couldn't talk, man. Last Sunday, I couldn't talk. I did this wedding. I had to project my voice. I didn't have a microphone. And I lost my voice, you know. My vocal cords are very thin compared to the average Joe because of radiation and the cancer treatments. It kind of gutted my vocal cords, so they're weak. In the natural, they're weak. So I really wanted to preach. I just wanted to be obedient. That's what I'm trying to say. I just wanted to be obedient. I knew that the Lord wanted me to preach. And when you're going through it, man, you got to stay the course. You got to be obedient to the Lord. You got to keep continuing serving the Lord. Can I get a witness? All right. So, man, each day we had prayer Monday night. Couldn't talk. Just throughout the week. My voice was just not there. And so when you strain it, when you try and push it out, man, it hurts, and then the voice just isn't there. But I prayed, oh God, I need to preach. I need to do this. And it was kind of touch and go yesterday. And I talk kind of funny when my voice is like really, really gone. It's like, it's really weird. Like whistles and squeaks and stuff, man. It's really annoying. My wife, Rachel G, my baby, she says, just don't talk. Just, anyways, never mind. So anywho, but I woke up this morning and I had the strength to talk. So I'm just saying God is good. God is good. God is good. It's not like I like being in front of people. But we got to do what God's called us to do. You know what I mean? The Apostle Paul's saying, look, man, I've been through a lot for spreading this gospel. But I'm not about to give that up. I'm not about to stop doing what God's called me to do because that's why I'm here. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm alive, if I've got air in my lungs, I'm living for Christ. Christ, I'm serving Christ. Until I clock out, until it's time for me to go home, I'm serving the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, it's God that does the heavy lifting. It's God that does what we can't do. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. And we do have 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. So, Paul dealt a lot with the Corinthian church, and they were kind of a mess. They were a mess. But thank God that he don't abandon messes. Amen?
That's right.
But the Corinthian believers, one thing that they had going on is they were kind of picking their favorite preachers. And so this group was saying, the Apostle Paul's all right, but man, when Apollos talks, man, I'm an Apollos guy. I'll come to service when Apollos is in town. I'm more of a follower of Apollos. And then other people are like, no, man, Paul the Apostle, man, that's where it's at, man. That's our dude. And so there was this stupid bickering argument going on in this church. And so the Apostle Paul addresses this. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. I planted, the Apostle Paul saying, I came around, I planted some seeds, okay? I delivered the gospel. Apollos watered. What is he saying? He's saying, Paul is an obedient servant. Apollos is an obedient servant. But don't get all caught up in following the obedient servants. Because when you idolize your favorite minister, your favorite teacher, what's wrong with that in the first place? Idolize your favorite minister or teacher. That doesn't even sound right. But when we do that, we're going to get disappointed. Because they are jars of clay. They are just frail, fragile, weak vessels, not perfect, that God uses. And the Apostle Paul says, our job, Apollos' job, Peter's job, my job is to deliver the message. But God does the crazy part. God pierces the heart. God changes that life. God changes that eternal destination from going to hell to life eternal with the Most High God. That's what God does. Give the Lord some praise. So one thing I want to encourage all of us. You got the truth in you. And God says, don't hide that under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under a table. You got the most precious message in the universe. And God says, don't you dare sit on that.
Yeah.
You give that to people. You use the gifts, talents, and abilities I've given you to spread that gospel. If you write poetry, write a poem about Jesus. You know, if you sing a ditty, sing a ditty about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God but God gave the growth. It's God that brings the life change. The power comes from God. I'm just a vessel. We are just a vessel, but God uses us to change the world. Think about that for a second. You know what they said about Paul and his entourage? What they said about Paul? This is the guy that's been turning the world upside down. And now he's here in our town. How's that for a testimony? Somebody said,
"Yeah, that's pretty good."
That's Dalton. That's Dalton. Watch out for that guy. Because everywhere he goes, he turns it upside down for the gospel. He changes lives. That's God using us. It's the power of the Lord. So, another example of God just using ordinary people and equipping them for extraordinary tasks. If you look at Acts 4 and verse 13. So, we got Peter and we got John, freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're going to the temple to worship. And on their way, right at the gate, is this crippled beggar. This guy can't walk, and he's begging for some money to get through the day. Peter says, "Silver and gold I ain't got, but what I do got, I'm going to give to you." He said, "Rise and get up and walk." So, ordinary dude, ordinary guy, just a very flawed, very common vessel, very fragile vessel. But the Holy Spirit, God uses these vessels. God uses these vessels to change lives, to build up the kingdom of God. Peter being obedient, God uses him to raise this guy up to where he's walking now. So now, a huge crowd begins to build. This is the guy that was crippled. This is the guy that was constantly grabbing at my legs when I was going to church, saying, "Hey, can you spare a fiver for me, buddy?" Now he's standing up, he's walking, and he's leaning on Peter. And Peter, because he has that treasure, he seizes this opportunity to preach as this crowd builds. He begins to preach the gospel. And as he's preaching, this also grabs the attention of the religious elite. These people that didn't like Jesus. And they thought, well, now that Jesus is gone, well, then we've crushed the head of the snake. So now the followers will disperse. And it's back to the good old days for us and our money grubbing and our power. Well, they couldn't have been wrong. They could have been wronger. You know? Because now the Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of 120 people, and then 3,000 people got saved, and 1,000 people got saved. And here we are here today. Peter standing up, and this dude that was crippled an hour earlier is standing between them, leaning on them. This huge, huge crowd builds up. Well, the religious leaders don't like that. So they arrest Peter. They arrest John, just some normal vessels, just normal guys filled with the Holy Spirit, with that most precious message that they were mandated to spread, just like me and you. So they get arrested, they're being questioned by the religious fancy boys, by the religious teachers. They're saying, look, don't talk about Jesus. Don't bring up that guy, Jesus. Don't talk about him. And Peter says, "I'll let you choose for yourselves what's right and wrong, but I'll tell you this much. When it comes down to obeying man or obeying God, I think I need to obey God."
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, baffled. They're beside themselves. Who talks like this? Don't you know who we are? Don't you know the power that we have? The authority that we have? Acts 4 and verse 13 is a snapshot of the religious leaders. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
God uses ordinary people.
Amen.
Like me and you, like Sister Ashley 1 and Sister Ashley 2.
Amen.
God uses ordinary folks like me and you.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, it says that the Sadducees said these guys were astonished. Why were they astonished? Well, look at the verse. Because they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They saw how Peter and John were bold in the face of opposition. They saw the confidence in the message. They saw the authority in which they delivered the message. So they were astonished because of the way they were able to deliver this message, this treasure. And they said, well, what's astonishing about it is these guys haven't come up in the special religious schools. These guys are just common, everyday, average Joes, man. These are just common men. These are just fishermen. These are just sailors, commercial fishermen, country bumpkins, hillbillies, just ordinary cats. But they were astonished because of the boldness and the confidence and the authority that they had.
Amen.
And they said, well, you know what? This kind of does make a little sense. Because I've seen this behavior before. Look right here, it says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So these are people, these are followers of Jesus. These are the guys that were always palling around with Jesus in the Mount of Olives and doing this and doing that. These guys are connected to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's us.
Amen.
That's us, man.
Yes.
Ordinary folks.
That's right.
Ordinary folks are the brilliant, priceless treasure placed in us that God says, don't you dare hide that. Don't you dare sit on that treasure. But you look for opportunities to spread that gospel, to spread that good news, because it says, and they recognize that they had been with Jesus. It ain't the messenger that's so special. He's just a jar. He's just a clay pot, an obedient clay pot. But the power is in Jesus Christ. The power is in the Holy Spirit. And so you give that message out. You give it out. And don't be afraid to give it out. But you give it out, and don't be discouraged when you don't see a change in somebody's life. Because you know what? You plant the seed, someone will come around and water it, and God will bring the growth.
Amen. Amen.
Give the Lord some praise. Just be obedient. There was this dude. So, we had prayer Monday, and I somehow this conversation came up where I was talking about this dude, Dr. Compton. Hadn't thought about him in years. I know I've mentioned him before when I was preaching. It's been a very, very long time. So anyways, it's kind of fresh on my mind. So I had just talked about him with Sister Nancy and Brother Mike and a couple others. So many, many years ago, I was a carpet cleaning guy. And so we had like some deals with different apartment complexes and condo high rises and different things where we would go in and clean their carpets from time to time, you know, and spend with apartments when somebody was moving out or renewed their contract, we'd go in and clean the carpets, that sort of thing. So one day I got a call to go to this one particular apartment Pensacola, like any other day, get all my stuff set up and all that. I'm in this apartment. And there's this guy, man, very unique guy. He's all alone. His house is just crammed with really cool stuff. I love books. I love books. This guy had the most amazing smart people books everywhere in all these bookshelves. Had really fancy stuff. And dude was kind of prideful, man. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the impression that I was getting the way he was talking. Okay? He was kind of boastful. I'll say that, kind of boastful. So, his name was Dr. Compton. I forget his first name, but he let me know that he was a doctor. But he also had fallen on hard times, and he had to leave his massive, amazing home and move into this place. His wife had left him. His adult children wanted nothing at all to do with him. He was just a shattered guy in his life. At this age in his life, and he was advanced in years. He was not happy with where he was in life. But he still would go and do doctor work from time to time and kind of fill in for other doctors. But because of his health, he didn't do it full time anymore. And he certainly liked to nip at the bottle a little bit. He liked to drink a little bit. So anyways, his life was kind of a mess. He was letting me know that. And so I just saw an opportunity. And I'm not bragging about myself. I'm using myself as an example. And I saw an opportunity to tell the man about Jesus. So I began to tell him about how Jesus changes lives and how he fixes our broken situations. And he can repair things that look completely hopeless. And the man, God bless him, he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want nothing to do with it. But we begin this dialogue, this discussion back and forth while I was laying the carpet, you know. He kind of followed me around. And then, so my job is done at his place, and I'm leaving. I'm leaving, and like a few days later, I get a call from the apartment complex. Hey, you missed a spot. You need to go back and clean Dr. Compton's area beside his bed or whatever. So I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound right, but whatever. Yeah, I'll squeeze it in. So I go there, and Dr. Compton had took a milkshake and spilled it beside his bed. But he did it because he wanted to talk some more.
Yeah.
And so we have this conversation again, and we're talking. He's telling me all about his past accomplishments and how he was the head of the Make-A-Wish Foundation and all this sort of stuff and all the different things that had went on in his world and how just heartbroken he was about his family. And I leave again. A couple of days later, I get a call. Hey, man, you keep missing spots over there. I'm like, oh, man, no, dude. Because I'm going to get in trouble, you know. I'm going to get in trouble to lose this deal with the apartment complex. So I go, I do the thing again. We have a great talk with Dr. Compton here. Here's my phone number. Call me. Call me. I'll come over. We'll talk, whatever. You know. Then we start this phone thing where we're talking on the phone for a couple hours, you know, on my front porch. I'll just be talking to Dr. Compton about life, about Jesus. And it was one day on my porch, and this is mind-blowing to me because I know who I am. And I know I ain't the smartest cat in the world, but I'm not the dumbest cat in the world either. I'm not talking down about myself. I'm just saying I know that I am a clay pot, man. I know that anything special in me is because of what God has poured into me. And this guy, man, this doctor, he says, you're brilliant. He says to me, you're brilliant. The way you've explained the things of the Lord to me in a way that makes sense to me. He said, you are so astute. And I'm like, hold on a second. Hey, baby. What's that? What's astute mean? And I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying. And he's just saying all this stuff. And he's not being fake, man. He's being sincere. But what was going on, man, is I was just this vessel that said, I've got this charge to do, this mission to do, and I was obedient to the Lord. And the Lord, it was the power of the Lord that began to use me and give me the right words to say to this man who was hurting, who was just this different type of cat, man, this different type of dude, different than any other guy I'd ever witnessed to before. But God gave me the right words to say and how to explain things to him in a way that he could understand. And so we would talk and talk and talk, and this went on for quite a while. And then I lost contact with Dr. Compton. And I was like, well, I better swing over there, you know, if I get a little free time or whatever. So a couple weeks turned into a month or something like that. I don't know. I get a phone call from another doctor. I didn't know this guy. He said, hey, I found your phone number in my friend's Bible. He said, I gave Dr. Compton a Bible several years ago. And Dr. Compton passed away last week. So I'm here, I'm the only family he really has, and I'm just his associate. I'm his friend. We used to go golfing together, and I would tell him about Jesus Christ. And I gave him this Bible, and he never wanted to hear it, anything I was saying. But then he started talking to me about this kid. That's what I was back then. He started talking to me about this kid. Now this kid was talking to him about Jesus when we were golfing and stuff. And I want you to know something, that I led, not me, the doctor said I led Dr. Compton in the prayer of salvation. He didn't even know he was about to die. He was in bad health, but it was still unexpected when he passed. But the guy called me up and just said, I want you to know that Dr. Compton accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So what we have here is somebody planting a seed, somebody watering, and then God bringing the growth. That's our job, to plant those seeds. And God will do the part we can't do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's move forward. Let's go to slide 3. Is everybody doing all right? Slide 3. So because we have this precious, precious, precious gift, this priceless gift in jars of clay, you are a real enemy of Satan's. He hates you. He cannot stand you because God loves you so much. You are made in the image of God. God has a special plan for humanity, and Satan hates your guts. He hates everybody, but he really, really hates the Christian. He really, because he knows he can't have you. And then when he sees you pouring out that message, oh, he can't stand it. He wants to throw everything he can at you because it's not good enough that you're saved, but that you're being obedient to the charge that God has given you and you're spreading the gospel. Satan can't stand that. So the Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthian believers, is like saying, man, I've been through it. I wouldn't change a thing. This is what I meant to do. But man, I've been through it, man. I've been treated shabbily. I've been lied about. I've went through so much for doing this, what God has called me to do. But I got to be obedient to what the Father has called me to do. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul's going to list four problems real fast. But he's also going to say four things where God has delivered or where God has done the impossible. Four problems, but also where God has delivered and set free four times. So we're going to briefly go through these things. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Because the Apostle Paul is making it clear. Church folk, Christian people, you're going to have some difficult times. But God is going to be there. God will always be there to sustain you through these difficult times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have this thing to where Everybody, Christian or not, believer or not, everybody goes through hard, difficult seasons in life. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But the claim that Paul is making is that it's different for the believer, and that the believer should handle these trials and storms differently. Yep. Amen?
Amen?
So, 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. New King James says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. I got to be honest with you. When I see where it says hard pressed, every time I see that, I think about Luke Skywalker and Han Solo in the trash compactor in the original Star Wars. When it's like closing in on them, you know, and they're freaking out because it's coming at them from every angle, you know, and they're doing all they can, but it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. What it really is like when you, so, I'll say this. So, you know, my kid, my little girl, Gracie, she likes to go to the beach. She's straight up Florida girl. She digs the beach and all that. So I'll go to the beach with her, and then I'll get on my knees at the beach, you know, in the water, in the surf, where the waves are coming in. So I'm like kind of like at her level. And so I'm not standing on my feet. I'm on my knees, like I just said. And then a wave will come in, man, and boom, it'll knock me over. Now I'm down. But I'm getting back up. But as I'm getting up, boom, another wave gets me. It knocks me down. And it's almost funny. Well, it is funny. She thinks it's funny. But then another wave comes and knocks me down. That's kind of what's going on here, man. It's like we can handle a problem or two. You know what I mean? Okay, I got a flat tire. I don't like it, but I'm going to deal with it. You know? We can handle a couple things. But this is about saying just bamboozling you, throwing everything he can at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now check this out. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can anybody relate to that?
Yes.
All right, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
So this is hard pressed is to be brought into difficulties, troubles, distress, or suffering. Can you relate? But it says, even though you are going through difficulties and trouble, and even suffering, God says, or the Apostle Paul says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. So you might go through it. You will go through it, but you're not crushed. So this crushed is speaking of a hopeless situation. Being in a situation with no hope of escape. The Apostle Paul says, you're going to go through it. But if you got God, he'll say that's enough right there. He'll say that's enough. See, it's like that saying, man, God won't give you more than you can handle. We've all heard that, right?
Yeah.
What it is, man, is God will allow you to be in a situation that would be overwhelming to you, that would even look hopeless. Amen? But that's when you reach out to God. That's when you reach out to God, and God will give you that sustaining power to get through that trial, that storm, that heartache, that pain. Even if it looks hopeless, God says there's nothing hopeless for the children of the Most High God.
Yes.
We lean on the Lord. We reach out to him.
Yes.
Tell the truth. Shame the devil, right? Give the Lord some praise.
Yes.
Second Corinthians 4 and verse 8. We're not crushed. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, right?
Right.
We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Everything Satan can throw at you, even your good, godly best friend, if he can manipulate a situation, he'll use that. He'll do anything he can to try and discourage you. He'll try and do anything he can to get you to stop coming to church or to stop worshiping God or just to go back out in the world or just give up. You know what I'm saying? But God says, no, I'm not going to let this crush you. So don't think that this is hopeless. Don't give up. Reach out to me. I will sustain you.
Yes.
We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. This makes so much sense to me. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Sometimes, man, we can be confused. Just kind of blindsided. Like, I didn't see that coming. Maybe I should have seen that coming. Looking back on it, well, there were some pretty big warning signs there. But you know what, man? I wasn't expecting that. I'm rather perplexed about the situation. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
It's like when King David, it's like, why do the wicked prosper? This is perplexing to me. Why do the wicked keep going around kidnapping kids, molesting kids, killing kids, selling kids? Why? Why does it just doesn't make any sense to me? Well, you know what God says? Nobody gets away with nothing, David. Nobody gets away with nothing. I'm being patient, just like I was patient with you. Now you pray. You get out there and you just give that treasure out. You pour that treasure out. But we can be confused, man. Like, I didn't see this coming. I didn't expect it. I'm 50-something years old, man. How can I be going through this? Right? Right? Okay. You know, I thought at this point in my life, whatever, fill in the blank. Okay? God never said you'd have a rose garden. He made it very clear, man. This ain't the easy road. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? But not driven to despair. Despair is such a scary word for me, because despair means that hopelessness. You can be discouraged and you're heading in the wrong direction, but that's not hopelessness. To be in despair is to be mentally, emotionally, I am in a hopeless situation. There's no way of escape for me. That is not the place God's people ever need to be.
Yes.
Amen. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, you might be a little confused from time to time, but listen, you trust in me, because this was not a surprise to me that this was going to happen. And I know what's waiting around the corner for you.
Come on.
And I'm going to be here with you every step of the way.
Yes.
So I see the big picture, and I've already told you about the end, Paul.
Yep.
It's a good result.
It's,
I don't care if you can't see a good result. I told you to trust in me, because I won't lie to you. You might be a little confused, but not driven to despair. Because Satan wants you to be in despair.
Yeah.
Satan loves that. And God says, no, that's not for my people. Mm. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Trusting in his promises, man. See, my voice just did that little weird thing. Trusting in his promises, man, is so vital. So vital to having the peace during these crushing situations. Amen?
Amen.
Couple promises. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Now this is David. Enter, I found my pen, Ashley. Thank you, Jesus. I was blaming Sister Claudia and I had it right here. You okay, so check this out. Check it out. So look, David, man. David was going through a tough time. Pretty scary time. King Saul was trying to kill him. He was just an obedient servant to King Saul. He was an obedient servant to the Lord. And David found himself in a mess, man. King Saul was so jealous of him. King Saul was wasting massive, massive amounts of troops and military equipment to track down this one dude in Israel. David didn't do anything wrong. He was obedient, patriotic to his king and country, and he loved the Lord. He was serving the Lord. But all of a sudden, he's an enemy of the state. King Saul's spared no expense to try and capture him. And David's wore out, man. He's just been going through this trial, this storm, for so long. I like David a lot, man, because I can relate to some of the stuff. Other stuff, I just think it's cool. But I can relate to this. David gets pretty scared. He gets tired. When you get tired, when you get weary, Satan will exploit that too. He's always looking for a weak link, you know? So David gets this bright idea. I got no safe place in my homeland. If I go over here, they'll rat me out. If I go over here, they'll find me. I got no safe place to go. King Saul's going to get me. Kind of gets his eyes off of the Lord for a minute. And he says, you know what I'll do, Nate? You know what I'll do? I'm going to go to the Philistine country. I'm going to go where the Philistines are. The natural enemies of Israel during this time, who David had already fought countless battles against. David was famous. David was a folk hero, man. The Israelite ladies sung songs about him. Everybody knew about David. I think maybe David didn't realize how famous and popular this guy was, or it even got across the border. You know? So he says, I'm going to go to Philistine country. I'm going to go hide out over there. You know what else I'm going to do? I need a weapon. I got to give me a weapon, a good weapon, man. You know what? Hey, is that Goliath's sword? David takes Goliath's sword. Remember, he killed Goliath when he was a kid? He takes Goliath's sword with him into the Philistine country. Goliath was the Philistine champion. So here's David walking around Gath, the city of Gath. Goliath of Gath, it was Goliath's hometown. Yeah. It's crazy, right? Yeah. Here's David thinking, well, I'll be all right here. I got this big old sword. And it's Goliath's sword. It's like almost as big as David, you know? He's walking around with this giant sword in Goliath's hometown. And everybody's like, I don't see as good as I used to, but ain't that David? That's the dude that killed Goliath. That's Goliath's sword. What's going on here? So the king's guys grab him and take him to the king Achish. And David's like, oh man, dude, I jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. Half of it, he was just being obedient to the Lord. The other half, he kind of done to himself by not trusting in the Lord, right? I'm gonna do it in my own power. Raise your hands if that never works out for you. Right? The good thing he didn't fight Goliath in his own power. There wouldn't be nothing written about him other than the fact that Goliath smashed him. Right? So now he's before the king of Gath. David's a smart one. He's a fast one. He's witty. So the Philistines were suspicious. The Philistines were suspicious folks. And one thing that they believed is that if you were mentally ill, it was a bad omen, or you would bring a curse on yourself if you shed the blood of a mentally ill person. So here's David standing before the king, basically a dead man. They didn't have to go looking for him. He walked in their midst. It's payback time. Goliath's mama still ain't stopped crying. And here you are. But David starts drooling all over himself and spitting everywhere and clawing on the door and the walls. And the king is like, whoa. This guy is touched. This guy's mentally ill. Don't we have enough mentally ill people here in Gath? Why would you bring me this dude? Get him out of here. King knew, I can't touch him. I can't kill him. That'll bring a curse on us. So there's David back out again, man. But listen, this is David. After he went through that mess, half of it he had nothing to do with. He didn't cause it. Half of it, man, he kind of just walked into Satan's plan. I'm going to go to Philistia. Yeah, that makes sense on a good day, David. That makes a lot of sense. That's what sin does, man. When we get our eyes off of God, man, this seems right. It's not right. On a better day, you would get that, David. Psalm 34 and verse 19, this is what he says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Some just happen. Some you're dealing with the consequences of your own stupid actions. All right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Hallelujah.
He says, God gets me through these things, man.
Thank you.
God is going to deliver me. God has delivered me in the past. He's going to deliver me now. And great is the testimony going to be. Real fast, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God. Talking about God's promises. And we know that for those who love God. Do you love them? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You are called according to the purpose of God. God has a plan for you. God has things that he wants to do in your life. And the end result is a wonderful, wonderful result. And he says, he's not saying all the bad things that happen are good. But he's saying, I specialize at bringing good things out of these bad things. I specialize in making beauty out of ashes.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what I specialize in. And man, you might feel like the world's falling apart around you and everything's closing in on you, and you might be a little confused. You know what? But that's when you reach out and grab my hand and you hold my promises, because I will get you through this. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Quickly, slide four. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Persecuted but not forsaken. You will have severe times of trials as a Christian. Right? You will be persecuted. Jesus said, hey, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Don't think that the student is greater than the master. You will go through severe trials in this life on our journey toward heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Acts 14 and 22. Just a little example. Acts 14 and 22. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I love that promise right there. See, here's the dealio. Here's the 411. Here's the info. Acts 14 and verse 22. Then listen, this is the Apostle Paul. Right after the dude was stoned and left for dead, the people in Lystra thought that they had killed him. He was stoned and left for dead. And this dude gets up and marches back into the town. And this is what we got right here. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. He's talking to the Christian folks there, saying, yeah, I know you guys saw what happened to me yesterday. Listen. That's actually a normal part of being a Christian. That's actually a normal thing when you're out there doing the Lord's work. He's encouraging these guys, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, not one, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. He's saying, don't let this be a surprise to you. You're going to have trials and tribulations when you're a Christian. That's just part of your journey towards heaven. But you're going to learn the lessons that God's trying to teach you. You're going to grow in your faith. You're going to grow in your intimacy with the Lord. You're going to mature in the Lord. Because that's God's method, man, for maturing his church. Amen?
Amen.
Persecuted but not forsaken. Troubles but not alone. 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. The letters that Paul wrote to Timothy are encouraging. Father to a son. We see a man knowing. We see a man knowing that his days are coming to a close really fast. Look what he says right here. 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. At my first defense. He's talking about his preliminary hearing with Caesar. Remember, he was in chains for the gospel. There's a template you can watch. Paul would preach the gospel. Opposition would arise. And then there would be fruit bearing. Preach the gospel. Opposition. Harvest. That's how it works, church people. Don't give up when you're in the opposition. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. That is so stinking sad. Here he is talking to Caesar. He's got nobody in his corner. The Apostle Paul has no one in his corner. Think of the countless lives that he has led to Jesus, all the churches he has started. And because people are afraid of losing their own life or being connected to the Apostle Paul, he's facing Caesar all alone. At my first events, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. They didn't just not show up for court that day. They got out of town. They deserted me. You are an expensive friend, Paul, and I ain't got time for this. I'm Audi 500, G. But all deserted me. May it not be. Listen to this. Deserted. Listen, church people. But look what he says. May it not be charged against them. He says, I forgive them. I forgive a man. He's practicing what Jesus modeled. He's practicing what he saw Stephen do with his own eyes when they were killing Stephen. He's practicing what he's preached. He's saying, don't hold that against him. I forgive him. Now, they could have been there and really helped me, at least encouraged me to know that I wasn't alone. I had nobody, but you know what? I forgive them. I forgive them. God says we got to forgive. Now, listen to this. Persecuted but not forsaken. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Look at what I just said. Persecution, still serving God. Persecuted, God is with him. Not just as an observer, but God is with him to strengthen him, to get through each and every scary moment. Each and every day, God is there to strengthen him. God is there to strengthen us as we go through these confusing, crazy times. Yep. Amen?
Amen?
But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me.
Thank you.
So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Paul said, I got a mission to do, to live as Christ, to die as gain. I've got air in my lungs and my heart still pumping blood. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And God has kept me alive to proclaim the gospel, the good news, to be that vessel, to pour out this treasure on the Gentile people. He said, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Because Paul knew that you are indestructible until Jesus calls you home. And then you go get your reward. So you can be bold and brave in the face of opposition. You can't touch me unless God allows it. And if God allows it, man, it's going to be greater for me than to live as Christ, to die as gain. Now look at this. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Opposition, yes, but not alone. God was there with me. And he strengthened me. And I continued to serve him. And I will serve him with my last breath. And God saved me. God delivered me out of the lion's mouth. God took me out of certain death. And that's how we got to look at it, church people.
Amen.
Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. So this struck down means like getting smacked really, really hard, hit. Even killing. Picture a boxer or a judo man. You want to picture a judo man or a karate champ? Let's just do a boxer. Okay? So this dude gets hit really hard by a boxer. Boom, Mike Tyson hits this dude. Mike Tyson hits you. And you are struck down. You got knocked on your booty and you're a little confused, a little winded. You struck down, but God said, that's not going to destroy you. Even if you have to give up your life for being a Christian, you cannot be destroyed. You can be struck down if God allows it. You can be struck down, but not destroyed. because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live as Christ, to die as gain. They just Christians don't lose. But speaking of being hit, being knocked down, the Apostle Paul says, man, I've been knocked down, and I've been knocked down by some heavy, crazy, hard hitting blows. But I get up again. I get up again because it's the strength of the Lord that gets me up. I grab a hold of the Lord's hand and lifts me up. So I'm struck from time to time, but I'm not going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And life is like that. Life is like that. Skip me. Bam. Man, I didn't see that. Man, that's smart. Oh. And then boom, another one. Boom, another one. I'm a little confused about all this. God says, relax, it's going to be okay. We're going to get really, really close through this, Paul.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you'll see. You'll see at the end. I was there with you every step of the way. I was there with you every step of the way. I'll get you through this. But I get up again by the power of God. We're going to close with this, Romans 8 and 11. Just the inspirational verse coming from the Apostle Paul. Now listen to this, because maybe you're going through it. I'm going through it. A lot of you guys are going through it. You guys need to pray for one another. You need to pray for me. I'm praying for you. Romans 8 and 11, let this encourage you. Let me plant this seed and let the Lord do his thing. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's not a question, by the way. It's saying if you're saved, if you've accepted Christ, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in your innermost being. If the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Think about that power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul says that same spirit lives inside of you. Now let that spirit do its work in you. Let that spirit do its thing. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do his thing. You stand on my promises. You continue to serve me. You worship me in the middle of the storm. You go ahead and bring that sacrifice of praise and let the Holy Spirit strengthen you. Amen.
Amen.
The same Holy Spirit of God who brought Jesus back to life lives in the side of you and me as believers. And that same spirit gives me the daily strength that I need. I want you to think about that. Caleb, Scott, all of us. That Holy Spirit will give me the strength I need for moment by moment, day by day, to get to the next day, and then the next day, and the next day. And I'll have the provision I need. I'll have everything I need. I just got to follow him. I've got to keep my eyes on him. Amen.
Amen.
That same spirit that destroyed death. That same spirit that conquered death.
Amen.
Dwells inside of us and is still active to this very moment.
Amen.
And God is reminding us, don't forget about that, man. You are not alone. Persecuted, yes, but you are not forsaken.
Amen.
Father God, thank you for encouraging us. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in our lives and in our homes, Lord God. Thank you for the miracles that you're doing, the healings that you're doing. We love you and we praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.